Well, here we are on Pentecost, the birthday of the church, as I've said now and then. It's occasionally tempting to play happy birthday, but it just doesn't scan very well, so we'll dispense with that, at least this time around. And instead, we'll look at what this means for us. The sermon title is Pentecost Then and Now. And what I considered was a good sermon title, and it's okay, I realize a better one would have been Pentecost Then and Still, which is perhaps a different, slightly different way of us to think about it. We're all aware of the story of Pentecost, the dramatic business of a wind in an enclosed building, at least something sounds like wind, and then these tongues of flame appearing on people's heads, symbolizing the gift of the Holy Spirit. I, for one, have never seen tongues of flame on people's heads. I've occasionally seen people dressed up as candles in Beauty and the Beast, for example, the musical. But at the same time, I don't think that's exactly what it looked like, and I'm quite sure that wasn't a gift of the Holy Spirit. That was just a talent. At least we hope so. When we look at this passage of Pentecost, it's easy for us to think that there it was, Pentecost. It was this thing that happened. And it's true, it was a thing that happened. It happened in a historical moment. It's not a metaphor. This is something that happened on the basis of what people saw. This is what they reported. But it's not something that happened and that was the end of it. We think of Pentecost as the beginning of the church, and sometimes we think of it as this punctiliar example of something, a thing that had a beginning and end right there. And while that day in the upper room did, and the sermon was something that happened and came to an end, I like to think of Pentecost not so much as fireworks in celebration of the birth of the church, but as a starting gun. Because what happens at a starting gun? The starting gun goes off and everybody runs. They don't stop and say, that was a lovely gun. They don't say, what a delightful sound it made. Because it's the beginning of something. And when the starting whistle or gun, whatever it might be, goes off, the race begins. This particular race, to push the metaphor a little bit further, continues to this day. Because what started at Pentecost, the church, is continuing to this day. We are part of it. We are in this race to the end of the need for the church, and we haven't reached that yet. When we look at Peter's sermon, where he talks about in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and goes on. Those last days are now. Those last days have been continuing ever since then. This isn't something that happens for a very short period of time just before the end of all things, because sons and daughters have been prophesying ever since. Young women, men, and all people have been seeing visions, and old people have been dreaming dreams ever since then. The Holy Spirit has been with us ever since that moment, and even before. The Holy Spirit has always been. When we look at that passage in Genesis where the Holy Spirit hovers above the water, that the Spirit of God hovering above the water, that's the Holy Spirit named here. The Holy Spirit has always been a member of the Trinity, no beginning, no end, but appearing in a new way here, in a way that hadn't been seen exactly like this before and had come upon not just an individual person, not just a small group of prophets that we see off and on in the Old Testament, but on everyone that the Holy Spirit indwells. And that is everyone who is in a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by that same Holy Spirit. What Peter's talking about in Joel, it may have another special occasion closer to the end of all things, but it doesn't mean that nothing has happened between Pentecost and then. This is something that continues now. And as we move forward into our readings, we're only going to look at Acts and 1 Corinthians, but when we look at our 1 Corinthians reading, one of the things we might want to consider, that Paul was writing fairly close to the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts. When Paul is talking about there are different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit, he is reminding people of this same Holy Spirit. And the people he's reminding, some of them were quite likely alive when Pentecost happened. It's not out of the question that some people who read this letter that Paul wrote to Corinth, because Paul's letters were passed around. We see that in other places. Paul specifically says, read this letter that I sent to them and send my letter to you to them. These were parts of the teaching that went on back then. It's not impossible that someone might have read this who was there. Paul wasn't writing hundreds of years after Pentecost. Tens of years, maybe. And what Paul is saying is he's filling out what this means in case people have forgotten, or in case people didn't really grasp what was going on in that quotation of Joel that young people and old people, which covers all people, would be given these gifts, these things from the Spirit. Paul makes it perfectly clear here in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about spiritual gifts. As you know, I like talking about spiritual gifts because they're so important. Because if we forget about them, if we lose track of them, if we lose sight of them, it doesn't help us in the long term or the short term. So when we look at what Paul's talking about here, he's saying that what began at Pentecost, that race that began at Pentecost, continues, and everyone in it is equipped for the race. Not everybody who is at a race is in a race. You can tell the people who are in the race. If you go to, a marathon or even a 5K or something, you can tell who's in it. They've got a bib, they've got maybe a special shirt or something, but you know who's there. And all of those people in that race are equipped for the race. Some are faster, some are slower. I always find it interesting, particularly with marathons, if you've ever seen one, not just the highlights, the first people who leave at a marathon are the people in wheelchairs. And the reason why they leave first is because they're always faster. The world record for the marathon done by someone in a wheelchair is way faster than somebody running. This has got nothing to do with the sermon. I just find it interesting that what we consider a handicap is at some points actually quite helpful, because you can coast in a wheelchair. You can try coasting while you're running, but that's just another way to describe falling flat on your face. Wheelchairs are faster over the long haul than people on their legs, which I just think is interesting, but maybe it does connect a little bit here. In that everybody who runs this race is equipped for the race, but not equipped exactly the same way. We don't all have the same bib number, even if we all have a bib. And people in a wheelchair, or people who are running and they're visually impaired, run with someone. They are equipped for the race, but they're not equipped exactly the same way. And in the same way, we are not all equipped exactly in the same way by the Holy Spirit. We have all kinds of different things, all of which are needed. And that's what Paul says. The body is a unit. It's made of many parts. And although there are many parts, they all make up the one body. And we need to remember that also, because sometimes we might think that our gift isn't very important. Well, how many of you think on a regular basis about your thumbs? Probably not very many. I certainly didn't, until I got what's called a trigger finger, which sounds more interesting than it is. It just means that your fingers sort of pop when they bend. And that's fine. It's sort of funny to look until it hurts a lot. And then you end up with this, which you probably can't see from there, but it's a little splint on my right thumb. Do you know how often you use your thumb through the course of a day? It's a lot. Which I wasn't aware of before. I was grateful for my thumbs. I didn't think they were unimportant. But I have a new appreciation for them, especially my right one, because I am just horribly right-handed. I am so right-handed, this is almost useless for many things. This thumb is critically important to my well-being. It's kind of small, but it still belongs there, and it still does things that no other part of the body can do. And it's the same with us. All of us have a spiritual gift. All of us have something to offer to this community of faith and to the larger body of body of Christ that only we can do, because only we are us. I've spoken before about how I'm blessed to be married to somebody who sees things I don't. Hadley sees things that I don't all the time. And you'd think after 35 years, more of it would have rubbed off against me. But for example, yesterday, there was a lady doing sort of slow motion laps in front of our house and then going off to do something. We weren't quite sure what she was doing. I was aware of her because I could see her through the window, and that was about it. Now they got up and went out to see if she was okay. I wasn't indifferent to this woman. I didn't dislike this woman. I've never seen her before. But certainly not to my glory, it never crossed my mind to go out and see how she was. Hadley went out, and she is okay. She might have some deficits of some sort, but she wasn't a danger to herself or anyone else. One of the things she does is she colors manhole covers. You know the little square things on them? She makes patterns on them. So she's a public artist. I didn't know that. How could I have known that? Because I didn't think to go out and check to make sure she was okay. Hadley checks on people to make sure they're okay. When we see people like that, it is almost impossible for Hadley not to interact with them somehow, at least to acknowledge them in a way that lets them know they're seen. It's a gift they have that I don't. I don't know which of you, looking at these texts this morning, would have seen the same things I see. But that's my gift, to bring things, hopefully empowered by the Holy Spirit, like all of our gifts, to help you in understanding this text or understanding what you should do next week or whatever these things are that we get assistance with. And we can't do without each other. I'm glad I haven't found out what it's like to not have a thumb, because that would be way worse than this. I can take the splint off and I can even bend it. It hurts a bit after it's been growing, but this just helps me realize how important it is. Every part of the body is important, our physical bodies, even the ones we can't identify. Somebody, for some reason, had a substantial survey of people asking them to identify various parts of their body, and it was something like 8% of people know where their spleen is. Somebody was making some kind of a point. I don't know what kind of point they're making. We don't need to know where our spleen is. We just need to know that the things inside are important, and they should stay where they are, if at all possible. The fact that I don't know exactly what your gift is doesn't mean it isn't as critically important as everyone else's. There is no such thing as an unimportant spiritual gift. Your gift of seeing what needs to be done and doing it is critically important to this congregation and to the larger body of Christ. Your ability to provide wisdom when needed, your ability to provide discernment, to pray, to have faith, all of those things that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians and in Romans by name, and those things that aren't named but are still obviously spiritual gifts, we need them all. And they've been active since Pentecost. Because with that race, with that starting gun, came everything needed to run the race to the end as the body of Christ. Not as individual people. We may see the end, we may not. But we are every bit as important in that race as Peter was and still is, as Paul was and still is, as all of those people in church history, named and unnamed, all those friends and family members who have gone before. Because Pentecost started something. It wasn't just a thing all by itself that began and ended. The day ended, of course, but what began at Pentecost continues to this day, and we get to be part of it. Amen.